I don't know what chapter it is in the book, but we're going to be talking about the reviling of Moses and not Moses, the reviling of Aaron and Miriam. That's in Numbers 12, verses 1 through 16. That's practically the whole chapter. And there's some very interesting points we're going to pull out today in today's class. The main point we're going to put out, or we're going to talk about, is whenever you speak against God's delegated authority, you're also speaking against God himself directly to, because sometimes we don't recognize, we see the person, but we don't recognize who's behind the person. A lot of time, you don't see the God in them, the God that's directing them. And so sometimes people speak, I don't want to use the word ignorantly, but it causes great damage to your spiritual walk with God. Okay, so if you look in your book, I don't know if you got your books or you use your book, I don't know, but Numbers 12 and 1, I need someone to read for me, because when I get you to read, it gives me more insight to what being happening here. Give me a reader. Somebody read. Go ahead. Read loud. Starting in verse 1. Numbers 12 and 1. I might stop you, but that's okay.
And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out.
Keep reading.
And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, how hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Wherefore, if they were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses.
That's good for right now. Now, going back to the first verse, Miriam and Aaron, they were elder sister and brother to Moses. So Moses, being the younger, you would think as an older sister or brother, you should be able to correct him. But in the family setting, you know how your family setting go, older down to your youngest. Miriam and Aaron did have a right to correct Moses in the family setting. But what happened? Once you question Moses about the Ethiopian woman, when they question Moses about the Ethiopian woman, and sometimes you don't know you're touching God's work. And because they touch God's work, they touch God. And so what happened was they got out of a spiritual alignment. They got out of spiritual order, and then they began to defend themselves. Do God only speak to you, Moses? Because they figure that, Moses is the only one hearing from God. And the Bible plainly says, and God did what? Heard it. I usually make this statement right about this time here. Rebellious word, a sin directly to heaven. And heard by Father God. rebellious word. Whenever you speak rebellious word, God hears it. God hears those rebellious words. You can't speak anything in our realm without God's attention. Sometimes people get in the privacy of their homes, you know, and that was dangerous. They speak about authority in the privacy of their home because nobody hears but me and my husband, me and my children, me and my neighbor. But God judges those things. God hears those things. God always hears you. And so that's the danger of it. So, you know, because you might not speak it in public, you speak it in private. God deals with it. No matter how you speak it, it's rebellious word. So, had the Lord only spoken by Moses, the Lord heard. Now, the Lord put his note in parenthesis, but the man Moses was very meek. No, it didn't say Moses was very weak. See, Moses had to have this temperament. If he didn't have this temperament, this thing could have turned out another way. But because he had this temperament of being meek, being humble, he gave God the ability to be able to step in and to judge this thing on his own. Moses didn't have to touch it with his own ability. It's hard dealing with family. Family is the hardest people when it comes to spiritual things to deal with, because that's a, Jesus said himself, a prophet is what? Without honor, where? His own hometown. His own home. His own surrounding. People don't recognize your anointing. I remember my dad, he's going home to be with the Lord now. You know, around Christmas time, you know, old school. I said, Dad, I'm running to the grocery store. You need anything? He said, yeah, pick me up a little bottle of wine. Something like that along that line. I said wine, but it could have been something else. Could have been Jack Daniel or something. But the point of this was, I said, Dad, I don't buy stuff like that. That's what he said. But he got, he said, oh, don't nobody know you a preacher? I said, dear God, what did this man just say? See, no, a man doesn't have honor where? His own hometown. So sometimes you got to be careful, you know, how you deal with your family. You got to have some wisdom in this tag. I'd have to respect him as a father. And, but at the same time, man, God, dog, that hit me kind of hard. So how do I deal with this? Be still, the Lord told me. Just be still. Be still. I have to be still. But rebellious words ascend directly to heaven. Think about it. Your words, God hears everything and sees everything that we do and say. All right? Now, because Moses and Aaron was elder brothers and sister Moses, Moses should have been subject to them because of their authority over him in a home. But in the calling and work of God, they ought to be subject themselves to him. You understand that? They were not happy with the Ethiopian woman whom Moses had married. So they spoke against Moses by saying, had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken also with us? Now let me explain what an Ethiopian woman was so you can give some insight. An Ethiopian is an African, a descendant of Ham. You see, Moses should not have married this Ethiopian woman. And as an older sister, Miriam could reprimand her brother on the basis of their family relationship. But when she opened her mouth to slander, she touched upon the work of God, thus challenging the position of Moses. But the thing is here that according to the law, according to study, when God, you remember we talked about Noah and his two sons, Shem, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth? And Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. And because Ham uncovered his father's nakedness, Moses prophesied that Ham would be a slave unto Shem and Japheth. And so that the lineage of Ham. Well, according to law, Moses should not have married the Ethiopian woman because of the descendant of Ham by law. But at the same time, God does work however he wants to work. You with me? God deal with purposes. You see? So they try to call Moses' hand on this thing, but God had already preordained something that they didn't have no understanding of, the work of God. Sometimes God don't have to tell everybody everything. God don't have to tell everybody everything. He was dealing with Moses. He wasn't dealing with Miriam and Aaron. At the family, remember, they should submit themselves to Moses just like everybody else. But they thought they had some type of handle on Moses, and so God dealt with it. Now watch what happened. Watch how severely God going to deal with this now. See, God have mercy upon he have mercy. But God did deal with this thing. Watch this now. Look with me in verse 9. Watch what happened here after this correction is about to be made concerning Aaron and Miriam. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. You mean this thing stirred God up. And he departed. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to verse 5. Let's back up to verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly, y'all see it? Unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now look, let's put ourselves in this position right here. Let's put ourselves in the position, in the surrounding. See yourself with Moses. See yourself with Aaron. And see yourself with Miriam. And see them coming against Moses. All right? I'm trying to put a picture before you. Because that's the way I do when I read the Bible. I reenact the scene in my mind. And so now you got Moses, Aaron, his older brother, and Miriam's older sister. They're correcting him. They're telling him, you shouldn't have married the Ethiopian woman. Moses being solid. And say, who you think? God just speak through you? Now I'm seeing him in the situation here. And then the Bible said God heard him, right? Now God's about to call all three on the carpet. Now Miriam and Aaron being older, when God called them out, now they're saying, who Moses think he is? He think he's the only one can hear from God? God called them out. Now Moses is going to see. Now Moses is going to see who's right about this thing. And who was wrong? See, it was about a right and wrong situation here. Well, Moses was wrong to marry the woman. Now we're going to see. So God called three of them out on the carpet before they come to the door of the tabernacle. That's where God's presence is about to come in, right? Now God's about to judge this thing. And sometimes when you think you're right, It's a bad position when you think you're right. See, some people, they're in rebellion, and they think they're right. They're arguing about spiritual matters that's out of their hands, but they think they're right. And that's a bad position to be in. You saying something thinking you are right. See, rebellion is a matter of the heart. You see it? Now watch here now. Watch what God's going to do here now. And God called them out, And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, to Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now we're going to see. We're going to see. And he said, hear now my words. Meaning what? Meaning what? I've heard your words. Can you see? Are you with me? I've heard your words. Now hear now my words. Hear my judgment on this situation here. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. God said, that's how I'm going to speak to the prophet, my prophet. My servant Moses is not so, who is, underline that word, faithful, who is faithful in all my house. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They stand before judgment now. He's telling them they're in divine error. Telling them they should never did or said what they said. Telling them you're going to respect Moses like you respect me. Can you see what's happening here? Moses, I call him a type I call him Pastor Moses. You know why I say that? Because Moses got these 3,000 people. He bringing from out of Egypt into the promised land. Now he got all these people traveling, caravan, men, women, and children. And now he got to stop and deal with this issue here. Enough got these other people, he got to deal with family people. You see it? Enough you got to deal with these other people of no, how I say that, of no natural connection to him. But I got to stop and deal with family. You would have thought they would have been with me at least. You see it? You see it? But why did God allow this to be put in the scriptures here? Number one, because this spiritual authority has no flesh connection. Remember that. No mama, no daddy. Jesus, thy mother and thy brother looking for you. Remember that statement in the Bible? Jesus, who's my mother? Who's my brother? But they that do the will of my Father. See, spiritual authority has no flesh connection. You cannot connect to apostle in the flesh. No. It's a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual authority. You don't submit to his flesh. Because if you submit to his flesh or submit to an authority of flesh, it's going to be eye service. People do it on the job all the time. The boss coming and they heard Mike like they're busy. That's a flesh submission. Yeah, anybody ever did that? Yeah, everybody probably guilty, trying to look busy because the ball's coming. But if you know you're doing your job, if I need to take a little break, and I know I do my job, I'm going to take my break. Not being disrespectful. But why I got to act busy? Because he's there. I respect him. But at the same time, it's not a flesh connection. You see it? That means I do, here's the key now, I do what I'm supposed to do when he's not looking. Right. People who do that, they only do what they do when authority is looking. But when authority ain't looking, I'm not respecting you at all. When the cat away, the mouse play. That's not respecting authority. The Bible said, consider the ant. in Proverbs. They have no overseer, no God. I did that one time. I was a little boy growing up, and the only toy I got was an ant farm. I put some dirt in it. I went to the ant hill. Ant was plentiful. So it wasn't no shortage of ant. And I put some ants in my little ant farm, in my little skinny box, plastic box. And I put some in there. And I would wake up in the middle of the night. Them ants were working at night. I get up in the morning. They'd be working in the morning. I said, doggone, these things work all night long and nobody tell them what to do. I didn't have the revelation but Proverbs. But I considered the ant way back then. They don't have no guide, no boss, but they just work because they know to do it. You see that? So that's the kind of tenacity God wants us to have, to be subject to authority even when they're not looking. To be submitted even when you ain't looking. So when you do look, I'm doing my job. I do my job whether you're looking or not, because I'm submitted to authority. You see it? Those not submitted, that's the one that hides on you. You don't want no employee like that. They hide when the authority is not there. We work here when apostles here and when apostles not here. This place run like apostles here all the time. Why? Because we have men and women that's submitted to authority, understands authority. You can't submit to authority unless you understand authority. That I'm not working for a man, but I'm working for the God that's in the man. It makes a difference. So God used Miriam and Aaron as an example to let them know that there ain't no flesh connection here. You see it? Ain't no flesh connection here. Brother Leroy, you know how he responds? Dr. Thompson said this. Mrs. Thompson said that. He don't say mama and dad. No, he understands that's the switch you got to make. In other words, that's an authority. That's mama and dad on one side here. But when it comes to spiritual work of God, it's apostle. Dr. Thompson. Mrs. Callan. So, you have to be mature enough spiritually, especially with this apostolic government, to be able to switch, to make the connection, to flow with authority, and not in a rebellious or a misunderstanding attitude to disrespect authority. Now, Miriam and Aaron, they disrespected their brother Moses. Because he's just little Moses. He's just little baby brother Moses. Mary said, I'm the one that put him in the basket when he was in the water. When mama, I'm the one took care of him for a while. He forgot all that. That I'm older than him. See, don't go like that. You see? So God used this to break this flesh connection. You got to break the flesh connection when it comes to understand authority. Got to break it. So God called them three up on the carpet now, right? You three come out. Now Moses and Miriam and Aaron think they're right now because they're like they got a right to say what they said. But God told them they were wrong. Watch. Watch this in this next verse here. Y'all with me so far? And the cloud departed. The cloud means the presence of God departed, right? From off the tabernacle, verse 10, and behold, Miriam became leprous. God presently leave, and leprosy come. Isn't that something? God left Miriam with leprosy. Was leprosy? If it was contagious, maybe she got it from one of the other lepers. No. No, hear what the Lord told me. Her inward rebellion was revealed to her, was exposed. No, her outward rebellion, let me put it right. Her inward rebellion exposed her outward leprosy. Let me put it like this. She was leprosy at heart. It just came on the outside. Some people leprosy at heart, but you can't see it until God causes to be exposed. Sometimes your leprosy don't come on the outside. It's in you. Some people got these little rebellious ways on the inside. They might not see it until God exposes them. They might be thinking it, but they never said it, but until God exposed them. Then everybody know they're rebellious. Why? Because everybody saw Miriam leprosy. And if you know anything about leprosy in the Old Testament, it has so many feet, you had to stay away, and they had to cry out, leper, leper, leper. Let everybody know you was a leper, and so people had so many yards, so many feet to stay away from you. You were set aside in a little place by yourself. You couldn't be among the other people. There was separation. Now, this little incident here might seem like a minute incident. How many people? Some say two and a half million people with them. Some say 3 million people. But this little rebellious situation went on, stopped the whole caravan. Sometimes people get rebellious within the church. It'll stop the whole work of God in his track for a little while. But you know, rebellion cannot stop the will of God. It can't stop a vision, but slow it down a little bit, and then the correction made. You see, God had to make some correction in the camp. God had to show you who the leader is. God had to show him who's in charge here. Not the people. My man Moses is in charge. I put him in charge. I don't care if you're sister, brother, nene, grandma. I put this man in charge. And you're supposed to respect him. Moses didn't want to say that himself. Something you can't say yourself. You with me? Moses can't say, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. No. God stayed for him. God called the people to recognize who was in charge. Can you see what was happening here? So you say Moses was very meek, one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. Moses wasn't weak. He was meek. One definition of meek is power under control. Moses had power, authority, but he kept it under control. That's the difference. You know that, no? Authority, he kept self-control. Some people have authority, but no self-control. Isn't that something? Some people can't harness their authority. Some people can't keep their self-control under attack. So they have trouble being an authority. One lesson being authority is be able to have self-control. Knowing it's not you, but God behind you. See, when you don't have self-control, you think it's you. Saul lost his self-control. The people say, and he want to do what he want to do with the will of God. But self-control, let God be God. She says, Lord, you God, you correct this thing. You the one got me in this with all these crazy people. They were crazy. Their soul was messed up. Some of them didn't know they was going or coming. Now watch them. Watch them. And Miriam became leprous, white as snow, they said. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Leprosy was a skin disease. Your skin like it's falling off of you. Then left a odor, a smell. A nasty disease. You know what tell me? You can't see it in the natural eye, but rebellion, it's smelly and nasty. God took God's nostril. God said, I hate the rebellion. I hate wickedness. I hate rebellion. See, that would cause Satan to fall. Rebellion. And stink in God's nostril. It's like leprosy. My goodness. Nobody want to be around rebellious people. Nobody really want to be around rebellion. That's why God corrected it so it don't spread like a cancer. He corrected it. He said, God spake unto them what? Suddenly. God stopped this thing suddenly in this spot. Rebellion got to be stopped suddenly. You can't babysit rebellion. What else word I can? You can't put it in an incubator. You can't incubate it. You can't pacify rebellion. Some people rebellious. Some people try to pacify them to win them over. No, you can't pacify them. No. You got to be, a rebellion got to be dealt with. A little leaven, what Jesus said, leaven it the whole lump. A little yeast, or spray it throughout the whole meal. Got to be corrected. People don't like it, but they got to be corrected. It'll destroy a whole church if you let it. You see? That's why I don't have no mess here. Apostle, deal with stuff before it becomes a thing. Before it becomes something, he'll deal with it. You see it? And then you got nothing to deal with. You see it? Why? It's easy. You see? You deal with the molehill before it becomes the mountain. I hear my parents say, but mountain the molehill. I ain't know what the heck they were talking about. But you get older, you know the difference between a molehill and a mountain. There's quite a bit of difference. But sometimes, if you don't deal with a molehill, it might turn to a mountain. And that's what God was dealing with Miriam and them. He didn't want this thing to escalate and become something and destroy more than them. Now, if we progress in the scriptures, we're going to find out when dealing with the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, what happened was they began to start a rebellion among the children of Israel group. And thousands of them fell at one time, the ground opened up. But we're going to get to that. Now, why we teach stuff along this line, like rebellion and destruction and all this stuff? The Bible says in the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, that God left these things in the scriptures for example to us, that we don't do likewise. You read that sometime over in Corinthians. These were examples unto us. So, these lessons here, Bible lesson, God wants to learn from these lessons. So we can be a help instead of a hindrance. If you got a choice, most people won't be a help. But you know, you got to be taught to be a help. You got to be taught the characteristic of hindrances. You see, Paul said, he was talking about the law and sin. If the law had not came, I would not know I sinned. But the law came and I died. He said, the law reveals sin to me. That I know sin now. So what I'm saying is, we're revealing rebellious acts and words and thoughts to you. So you don't go there. Just like a traffic sign, you driving down the road, traffic sign says dip in the road, and you say, I ain't paying no mind, that, you go in the big hole. You wouldn't pay no mind to the dip sign. You see, the bridge out, the sign tell you, more than one sign, keep telling you. The bridge out, you say, I ain't paying no mind to that crazy sign. Crying sign ain't got no good sense. And you keep driving, and before you know it, you find, oh, the bridge out. I've been telling you 3 times ago the bridge was up. But to what we're saying, these teachings are not for condemnation, but they're for correction. And somewhere down the line, if there's something we need to correct in the process of being a student, and me being a teacher, I correct myself all the time when I'm teaching. Why? Because I'm not perfect, but I'm getting better. My heart is submissive and getting more submissive as I preach and as I teach. You see it? And so just to make these little fine tune adjust, anybody remember? A lot of people don't remember this. We had the little transistor radios. We had no MP3 player. We was growing up. Had a little resistor radio. We had to pull the antenna up. And some of y'all remember this. We pulled the antenna. You remember this. And then, but you have to really play with that little thing, that little dial, until they come in clear. You get it in, boy, and you, I got it now. Don't touch it. Don't touch the antenna. Don't touch that. Because I got it. So one thing, sometimes these lessons, it fine tunes you. You know? I remember, y'all know nothing about this. My dad threw watching the fight. We had 3 channels on the TV, 2, 6, and 12 or something. And we had the old antenna outside. And then you had to turn the antenna to get one channel. And then to get the other channel, and that was our job, turn the antenna. Turn a little bit more. You turn, because the window was right there, they can holler. Everyone had no air conditioning, so you holler through the window. Turn it a little bit more. We turn it. So that's good. Go down the way a little bit. What were we doing? We were fine-tuning that station. That's good. And then you take your hand off it. Oh, what you did? Take my hand off it. Put your hand back. No more than that. You became the ground, you see. You were grounded, and you made it play good. But what are we doing? We are fine-tuning us. God, through this apostolic gift, our apostle, what are you doing? He's fine-tuning you. Why? To make you, God target, what you ought to be. The scripture talks about that. God got some things he wants us to be. But we're not what we ought to be yet. If anybody where they ought to be, they're telling the tale. So, but God is fine-tuning us with that little resistor radio. And putting some changes in us. Taking some things out. Putting some things in. Remember what Miriam did. Miriam said she can hear from God. You see? But God judged Miriam too. And Aaron. Now watch what Aaron did. Aaron cried out for mercy. You see? And Aaron said unto Moses. 11th verse. Alas, my Lord. Now he's my Lord now. I thought he was his brother. He's the Lord. Lord means authority. Lord means you in charge now. Lord means I messed up. Lord means I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? You see it? He recognized and reverenced this man's position now. Lord means you don't want to correct this thing now. Now we see. People will, apostles tell us, will tell a story how this man fell down to, he said, can you forgive me? I said, I spoke wrong about you and said nothing going right. The man got on his knees before him. He recognized. He got in the presence of the anointing and recognized, you know, it was the anointing he misrepresented or disrespected. It's the anointing of God that God put upon a person that you submit to. Our apostle, you submit to the anointing upon his life. You see it? There's no flesh connection. You see it? All right? Now, let's see what Moses did here. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly. You see, they recognize now. And wherein we have sinned. Some people don't recognize your sin until you get close to the anointing. The anointing lets you recognize sin and shortcomings and things you need to correct in your life. You see it? And so now Miriam is leprous now. Watch. I'm almost through. 1 minute. Let her not be as one that's dead, of whom the flesh is well, I don't know what that word is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, I define a word here. I define the word reviling, okay? Reviling, put it down. Reviling is to speak about someone or something in a very critical or insulting way. They were guilty of the sin of reviling. Okay? And that would reviling mean. And God didn't like it. To speak about someone in a very critical or insulting way. The 13th verse says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, hear her now, O God. I beseech thee, I beg thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, should she not be ashamed 7 days? That was the law. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. What is that saying? I'll go back to my statement, then I'm done. Rebellion cannot stop a work of God, but it'll slow it down. You see it? I don't want to be the one to slow God's vision down. All right? Amen. Amen. Good class. Go in peace.